wonderful portion of Scripture. Talks about the Lord's praise. We should praise Him. And it says about He desires to praise Him. And then also the Lord deserves our praise. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Thank you for everybody being here. Glad you're here. Don't forget, Mrs. Commodore invites all of you to her house for Easter dinner. Amen. If you don't have a place to go. So, got to put that insert there, amen. But anyway, don't forget about breakfast now. 8 o'clock for our bus ministry and 8:30 for all of you, amen. And look forward to that. It's just fun to, you know, be there on Sunday morning, amen. It's a big day, Sunday morning. They went to the tomb. Guess what? Nobody's there, amen. There's nobody home, amen. Praise God for that, amen. That's why we have the great joy of being able to see each other again because of the resurrection. Paul said, if there's no resurrection, we might as well eat, drink, and be merry. You know, there's no hope for us. But there is hope. All the things that point to that resurrection, most incredible thing. The lies that people have tried to tell you about it, it just can't happen. You don't steal a body and take the emaciated, putrefying cloth off a body. And the body's clothes were there. And the napkin was away, and it just proved. Then they said this is my favorite. Roman soldiers went up and said, hey, this will happen. And Jews said, they said, hey, just tell them you're sleeping. Well, first of all, you don't do that as a Roman soldier. These are the high-ranking Roman soldiers. These were the, quote-unquote, the Delta Force back in those days. And you don't sleep on watch. And secondly, isn't it amazing how they saw the disciples when they had their eyes closed sleeping? To me, that's my favorite. Amen. So, hey, we saw them when we were sleeping. You must have anchovies on your pizza, you might. All right. Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Hey, I heard some of you people doing this week after I preached on this. And I said, sometimes you just got to praise the Lord and move on, amen. And somebody told me, you know, preacher, I had to do that the other day. I just said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord for this time forth. And for evermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He rises up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. May God have a blessing in the Word of God as He always does. You may be seated. Father, I pray you help us tonight. Help us as we look into the Word of God. It'll be a blessing and help and encouragement. We don't love you so much, Lord, and you're a great God. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to meet with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Charles. I appreciate that. We always want that door locked and shut. Appreciate that very much. Well, first of all, number one, verses 1-3, the Bible talks about the Lord demands praise. He demands it. He demands praise. And we stopped on C, the resounding frame, his resounding frame. From the rising of the sun, the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. His praise encircles the wide belt of the earth. From the distant east, around the circumference of the globe, to the farthest west, the psalmist wanted the Lord's praise to be sung and so it is. I often think the Lord's Day, by the time we arrive in the meeting place, some of the people to join our voices lift up His name. His name has already been blessed in China, and His name has already been blessed in Japan. His name has already been blessed in India and in the Middle East, in Europe, in the islands of the sea, in churches along the eastern shores. Many times Brother Jim Holloman and I pray on Sunday morning about 9:20, if you'd like to meet us up there for a few moments of prayer. Many times he'll pray. He says, "Lord, I'm thinking about those preachers already done preaching." And says, "I'm thinking about those preachers who haven't even got up yet." And he'd pray. Amen. Think of that. Think of the praise. Constantly there's praise about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we will praise end when we read the last scriptures of this verse, sing our last hymn, and offer our closing benediction. The praise will follow the sun across the Midwest prairies, over our Rocky Mountains, and up and down the western seaboard, and out to the sea. Amen. And Brother Gross out there in Hawaii, he ain't even up yet. Amen. Secondly, the Lord desires prayer. And I'm excited about that. I think of that. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ never once told anybody not to praise Him or never to honor Him. Anytime you see anyone bowing down or praising an angel, what do they say? No, don't do that to me. Why do they say that? Because that's what happened with Satan and his crowd, amen. That's who got kicked out of, a third of them got kicked out of heaven, amen, because of that, amen. And they say, no, don't praise it, praise Him. But anytime anybody ever prays the Lord, you remember Mary Magdalene who praised the Lord? You remember Mary, she broke that bottle of spikenard and put it on the Lord's feet, and the aroma came around the house, and the disciples were upset, and Jesus said, "No, it's okay, let alone. She's praising me. God wants to be praised, amen." And His glory. The psalmist then draws his attention of three themes in the order to awaken us a desire to gratify our Lord's desire to be praised. The Lord wants to be praised. You ought to praise the Lord. You ought to be shouting glory, hallelujah. You ought to be praising Him. Boy, the other night I stayed up until 1 o'clock, about 12:15 to 1 o'clock. Look at that blood red moon, amen. I opened the door. Clouds. You know what I did? Went and googled it on my computer, and I looked at it. Amen. It's pretty good. It was a better picture, I think, than I would have got if I was looking out the window or door. Well, praise the Lord for everything He gives us. Boy, I get so excited about seeing how that God has so wonderfully given us plants. And my flowers are coming up. Man, I'm just so tickled about it. Every day I walk out there and praise the Lord, it ain't froze off again, amen. And boy, what a wonderful thing to think of what God has given us, amen. First of all, I want you to look at His glory, and then we'll look at His greatness, and then we'll look at His grace. His glory. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory is above the heavens. Some nations on earth today have dedicated themselves to the spread of atheism. I want to remind you, they cannot win. I said they cannot win. I said they cannot win. The Lord is high above all nations. They're a mere drop in a bucket to Him. And He can upset that bucket anytime He wants to. Amen. The psalmist would lift up that we would lift up our eyes above those who think in their pride and their arrogance that they can overthrow God. He says His glory is above the heavens. Look out! Right now, things ain't going good for us Christians. I mean, it doesn't look good. But I'm going to tell you something. The battle's already won. Because the Lord Jesus took the keys of heaven and hell away from Satan, and it's all His, amen. And he's enjoying himself right now, but I'll tell you what, one I read a deal the other day. It said, anytime Satan ever reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Yeah, amen. That's good, amen. And now we see it. The land of fadeless days and the land that has paved their streets, his streets with gold. And build his walls of jasper and makes their gates of pearl. And we see a land where time is not counted by years. We see a throne that's encircled round and round about with a rainbow of gleaming emerald. And a rainbow such as never arched the sky and the earth. And we see the flowing, about a couple months ago I was on an airplane and I looked down and it was the funniest thing. I saw a round rainbow. It's an incredible thing. Every once in a while you'll see that. You'll see a round rainbow. And the Lord talks about that rainbow that never arches in the sky. And we see the flowing from the throne and the crystal stream. And the lightning play like liquid fire and form the dazzling drapery against the throne that he sits on. We see the one who sits on the throne. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, we'll sing. I just get tickled about that. Even though it's getting... You know, we get to heaven. Nobody's going to look at you ever say amen in church and kind of feel funny? I've been in some of those churches. Amen! There's a college right now that they'll give you demerits if you say amen in the chapel. Sure not Hiles Anderson and sure not West Coast and sure not Crown and sure not... what's that other place out there? Golden State. All right. And you got to love the Lord. The Bible talks about shouting loud the amens, amen. Then we see his greatness. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Who dwelleth on high? We pray before us the great ones of the earth. We summons the world's thinkers, Plato and Aristotle and Archimedes and Solomon and Newton and Einstein. We assemble some religious leaders, Buddhists and Confucius, Muhammad. We summon the greatest warriors, Alexander, Genghis Khan, Napoleon, Caesar. Boy, that's a miserable group, amen. Who is like unto the Lord God? Let me just say this. Who dwarfs on high? Nobody. All the world's great ones are dwarfed, discomfited, dismayed before him. Their wisdom is seen as nothing. They're like men picking up pebbles on the seashore of knowledge. And when they've gathered all they have and they can carry, they have gleaming nothing. And it remains nothing to be known. Their religion are false. Their conquests built their empires on sand and are swept away. Hey, Genghis Khan didn't scare me today. He dead. Caesar doesn't scare me today. He dead. I can't learn anything from Plato. For a long time I thought his name was Plato. And by the rising tide, they shrink away in confusion and shame. And you read about their history, and they say, well, what were they thinking about? Amen. Now I want you to see God's grace, his grace. The grace of our Lord is the best thing of all. Listen, his grace, he humbled. What amazing portion of Scripture to teach you tonight, thinking of what Jesus Christ did, who humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. Though he is so high, he was willing to stoop down so low and see how things were here on planet earth. He sits in heaven and he sees the earth. Let's just for a moment go into that upper room. As we creep into that upper room in Jerusalem tonight, our Lord was there. We realize that our Lord clothed himself in humility. He said, "Come here, boys, let me wash your feet." He was God. He humbled himself. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the supreme manifestation of grace that should stimulate us in our desire to praise him as we ought to praise him. Man, this is not about the Easter Bunny. This is about a God who humbled himself and gave his throne and came to this earth to die. Suffer the shame. Incredible. That's when we ought to sing, "He lives. He lives." Amen. Third, I want you to look at the Lord deserves praise. He deserves it. Of any person or anything in this world, Jesus Christ deserves our praise. We are living in a world that is ruined in sin. One man said our world is like a veil of tears. The psalmist reminds us that the Lord deserved praise because of, number one, his kindness to the downtrodden. Our Lord does two wonderful things for the downtrodden. He pulls them up from the pit, and he takes them into the palace.
What a deal.
I don't know when it was a while back. I have a prayer list I go through, and I'm constantly working on it. And one day I was humbled by the thought of what God had done with me, little old farm boy. And I was reading the Psalms, and I got to Psalm 113, and verse 7. Our Lord, he says, he raises up the poor out of the dust. Now, you all know that I was a farm boy. I grew up sitting on a John Deere tractor seat. Go green. My dad had that stupid International at the house all the time. But anyway, we had the big brand new greens, and we had this old red International. He always thought I had to drive it. And I didn't want to drive it because my buddies at high school, they had International tractors. And it was an embarrassment to me. By the way, I was so glad to tell you, about 10 years ago, those farmers drive all green now, the Green Line. Amen. And I just harassed them to death. I said, "Hey, Clay. Hey, Scott, what's the deal with this green stuff around here? I thought you were all red." "Oh," he says, "come on, Shear." I said, "Don't come on me. You harassed me all my life with it." "Well, they got some big stuff, brother. They just push a button, it goes right straight down the field. And they touch a button, it comes off, and it turns around. They push another button, and right straight down." Shoot, my daddy used to do that without pushing the button. He just standing there, man. He didn't make them lines straight, amen. But I'll tell you, I ate a lot of dust in my life. It was a good life. I missed the farm. I always say, I told a guy the other day, I miss living in the country. I just miss living in the country. Good night, I can get up in the morning, get on a tractor, and Mom would bring me out lunch, or Dad bring me out lunch, and I just kept driving. Amen. I'd drive till sundown. Well, you talk about child abuse. Hey, when abuse, man, I was on a tractor, amen. I got so excited one time, I wanted to hear that tractor, so I took the muffler off. My dad could have killed me. It's on the Harley. But anyway. But I think of how that God has taken us many times. Some of you dirt farmers out of Texas. Sand, I guess you'd call it. Some of you Iowa boys, Nebraska boys, Kansas boys, Indiana. God took you. Using you today. Isn't it incredible? I try to remember that every morning when I read my Bible. I try to remember who I am. Just remember who I am. And this gets me who I am. He raises up the poor of the dust. We didn't have a big farm, a couple hundred acres. Worked hard. My dad was smart with his money. Took real good care of things. My daddy, you say, son, we may not have the newest stuff, but you're going to always have clean clothes, and we're going to eat the best of food. Hey, man, what's wrong with that? Hey, man. As you can tell, I did that. And then it said, and lifted the needy out of the dunghill. I pitched more cow manure and pig manure and chicken manure and all the rest of the manure. Amen. That's French for another word. Manure. I told that to the sheriff the other day. No. I says, he said, pardon my French. I said, that's not French. Manure is French. Oh, Jacqueline! Here we have two Old Testament metaphors, poverty and degradation. The refuge of the Middle Eastern town was collected in a dumping heap outside the wall. Beggars and lepers, those afflicted with loathsome diseases, and other outcast congregants. They congregated there at night. They would lie down near the ashes of the refuge fire to do what? To keep warm. That's all the way they could keep warm. That's all the way they made it. They didn't have welfare back in those days. They didn't have Big Daddy in the government. Although the world's great have little concern for such persons, the Lord does. He looks over earth's cities with their noisome slums, the millions of people who are in the streets, and I think I've been down to Juarez, garbage heaps, see those little children running through the glass, barefooted, finding something that they just maybe to eat, rancid food, they eat it. Some live in flimsy shanties made with cardboard. Or I've been to Manila, see those street boys find some kind of a tin roof put over their head. And you've seen them in Nepal. It's a living stench. And you go bed hungry. I'm going to tell you something. This God has something to offer them. Amen. He offers them everlasting life. He offers them the bread of life. He offers them a place in His kingdom, the rank and file of royalty in a world to come. You may not get it here. And even Jesus said, it'd be harder for a rich man to go to heaven than a camel go through the eye of a needle. James talks about the rich man. Just because you're rich doesn't mean that you're religious. Or you're a great Christian. I've seen some of the poorest people in the world, some of the greatest Christians I've ever met in my life. They have nothing to lose. They have nothing to show off. They just love the Lord. I've seen grandmas live in a tar paper shack. How many of you ever seen a tar paper shack? A few of you. Live in a tar paper shack. You didn't have nothing. When they die, they don't have a big funeral. They put them in a little pasteboard, cardboard coffin. Bless God. the next breath they breathe, they're breathing celestial air. The next step they step is on heaven's shore. And Jesus is going to meet them. And he'll meet them. And he'll say, "Welcome home, daughter. Welcome home, son. Welcome to the kingdom."
Woo-hoo!
Huh? Oh, man, what a time that's going to be. Poor little ragamuffin kid, didn't have nothing. Street urchin died. Lack of malnutrition. All of a sudden, boom! Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And Jesus said, "Son, you can eat all you want up here, and it's all good. You don't have to be fetching your food. I'll fetch it for you." Huh? Hey, let me tell you something. This riches on this earth don't get you very far. In fact, you just got to buy more dogs and more dog food, and you got to clean up for them. Somebody falls on something, they're going to sue you and get all your money. Nobody ever treats you the way you should be treated. You can be a half-wit, you can be an idiot, you can be mean as the devil. But because you got some money, everybody's going to love you. But once your money's gone, so are your friends. So it ain't that big to have money. I took my boy to one place. He's a surgeon. He don't know what to do with all his money. And my son said to me, he said, "Daddy, I never want to live like that." And boy, my boy, he was thinking about Corey, he was thinking about getting into money. Everything that boy touched turned to gold. I ain't never seen anything like it. And he said, "I don't want to live like that." That was the best trip I ever took. I don't want to live like that. Man, a brand new Corvette sitting there, brand new Mercedes sports car sitting there, great big, the biggest Mercedes you could buy sitting in there. All the glass windows overlooking this beautiful Lake Michigan. Woo! Beautiful. He said, "Dad, I don't want that." He started to cry. He said, "I really feel sorry for him." Hey, you know what? I read this morning that we only get 70 years in this earth, and if by strength, maybe 80. I don't know too many people more than 90 years old. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the... Yeah. Don't you get so upset that you got an old junker you got to drive around. At least you got a junker, amen? Don't you always want the best of this and best of that, best of this, best of that? You're going to break it, or your kid's going to throw it on the floor and it's going to get broken. They'll mess it up. They'll ding it. My, my. I got 2 minutes to wrap this thing up and it ain't going to happen, amen. The Lord deserves praise, number one, because of the kindness to the downtrodden. Thank God the downtrodden's got something to look forward to. You know, I was thinking about hell, and I thought, how terrible this is. Here's a man that died, the rich man, according to the Bible. He died and went to hell. And the Bible said he was in great torment. And he cried up to Father Abraham, and Father Abraham sent Lazarus down and touched a little water, the tip of his finger, and put it on the tongue for him. Torment! And then he said, "Send Lazarus back. Tell my five brothers." You know what? Lazarus didn't have much all his life, did he? We don't know where he came from, but we do know where he went. The Bible said he was laying in Abraham's bosom. That's a good place. You think he had any wants up there? Rich man, all his life, the Bible says, you have been spoiled. You have everything. You have food, you have drink, you have everything. And then I thought, what about the man who is a drunk or a derelict? And since he's been a teenager, he has had nothing. He has had to steal. He's had to crown. She's had to do everything he could, and he's been sick, and life has not been good at all. And he dies and goes to hell. He never gave a bit, did he? Rich man got something out of this world. But that poor urchin, he didn't get nothing. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for heaven. Out from the pit. Although the world's greats have a little concern, the Lord does. Secondly, up from the pit, into the palace. Glory to God, into the palace. He maketh that he may set them with what? Princes. Even with the princes of his people, he offers to make them the aristocrats of heaven. That's good stuff. Why don't you just shout, glory to God, hallelujah. You think you get, he said, but preacher, we don't have much. It's all right. It's going to be okay. You're going to get something. The gospel appeals has always been to the poor. Jesus said it was easier for that camel. Paul said, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He didn't say, not any, but not many. There are some people who do have some money. And thank God for them. You wouldn't have this preacher here if it wasn't for some folks that had some money. You wouldn't have that piano there if it wasn't for folks that has money. You wouldn't have that piano there if it wasn't for folks with money. Somebody called me up, a man of means, and he said, preacher, he said, I'd like to do something for your church. I said, we need a grand piano. And I said, we need another piano. He just kept checking it out. Old Cal Streeter, he said, Sheldon, he said, when you get over there, he said, I want to help the church. And I didn't know this. This is the kind of guy he is. He went bankrupt because of the federal government doing some bad stuff to him. And he said to me, never told me. He says, I'll get you that money. I told you what. He wrote a check for Heritage Baptist Church of $5,000. By the way, that same fellow paid everybody back everything he owed them. Most people, when they go bankrupt, they say, too bad. But he paid everybody back. I like men like that. Amen. And then the kindness to the distressed. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be joyful mother of children. Verses 6 and 7. Many people believe that we're talking about Hannah. Talk about Hannah who wept before the priest, before the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you a child. Anna called Samuel. This is Samuel's name. Ask from God or ask of God. We remember how she brought him back and presented him to the Lord, and had him raised by the high priest to be a lifelong Nazarite. And to grow up as one nobility as Samuel was. Perhaps verse 7 also looks ahead to the future. Many believe that Mary learned of Gabriel that she had become the mother of Messiah. She sang many, that he said, exalt them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things. In this psalm we see God's crowned womanhood with motherhood. One man suggested this song was written by a king while awaiting the birth of his firstborn. The end of it, let me remind you of a wonderful song. Man of Sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. When He comes, our glorious King, all His ransom host to bring, then anew the song we'll sing. Hallelujah. What a Savior, amen. Man, I'm telling you, this is a happy song. I love it. I can't get enough of it. Let's stand and be dismissed.